Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Horrible Decisions. Today's show is sponsored by blackwomeninlasvegas.com. And no, it's not a dating app.
I thought it was an escort
site. It is not an escort site either. Blackwomeninlasvegas.com is an online directory of everything a black woman in Las Vegas needs, whether you live there or you're visiting. And this actually works out well for me because, bitch, before I went there on Memorial Day weekend, I was trying to get my weave done.
I feel like that's the one thing that we would recruit for.
Seriously. Well, visiting Vegas for Mayweather versus McGregor fight and need somewhere to get your face beat? Want to know which club or pool will be the hot spot? Or do you want to support the large number of black female entrepreneurs, talent, and professionals in Sin City? Visit blackwomeninlasvegas.com and follow them on Instagram and Facebook at Black Women in Las Vegas. Black Women in Las Vegas, because we matter. And that is my friend. Yeah, that is a close friend of mine. And she's setting up to where when black professionals, black women come to Las Vegas, they kind of have somewhere to go, kind of somewhere to.
It's such a popular
city, but you wouldn't think like maybe where do you go get your hair done?
Trip now, like Memorial Weekend and all these other weekends,
right? And like I said, I went there and needed my hair done. So
you went there for sex, but
shut up. I went there to turn up. Anyways, guys, welcome to yet another episode of Horrible Decisions. I'm your girl Mandy B, and
I'm Wheezy, and we have Ella,
and we have Ella.
I had to get it out.
I get that all the time.
Really?
Yes.
I guess from Umbrella, Ella. Well, just like me, a man, why do I still get that from my name?
Really?
Girl, like we're in second grade.
People always think they're very original.
Not original at all. Well, guys, we're back. I guess we'll update a little bit. So Wheezy is just getting back from goddamn Europe yet again with Loverboy. Do you want to briefly update our listeners on how that trip went? Was it better than Italy? Like, how was it?
So, to me, it was way better than Italy. So, we were both on a vacation in Italy. And I feel like maybe because we were just getting to know each other that time, I was doing just too much. You know, I was like, I even caught myself posing at one point when waiting for the bathroom. And now I went to where he's from and, you know, kind of just checked out. Like, friends, family introduced me to the place. And it was just so much better because I was, like, way more chill. So, funny little story. I'm allergic to eggs, and he has a restaurant, I'm just so embarrassed about this story. I'm sorry. I'm getting shy. So, I'm allergic to eggs, and all he wanted to do was make sure 100% that I wouldn't fucking eat eggs. So, he had the chef, because I've never had a cupcake, make me cupcakes specially without eggs, and he was super excited. We were talking about it for like a fucking week and a half. He's like, oh my god, they're gonna be great, blah, 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 you're gonna have cupcakes. I'm like, oh my god, everything's new with you, anal and cupcakes. So we get to the restaurant, I'm super excited and it's really nice, and you know, we're sitting down with some family and his friends, and he's saying it over again. I can hear him saying the word in his language, like, no fucking egg. So there's bread on the table. And it's French bread, which generally doesn't have eggs. So I'm having a bite of it. And when I tell you I had one bite and I could feel my throat, and I'm looking at him and I'm like, is there egg in my martini? Is there any egg wash? He's like, no, I told you, I made the recipe. There's no egg in this. There's no egg in this. And blah, blah, blah. It's in your, I don't know if he said it's in my head or what. I'm like, I'll be right back. I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'm trying to walk very daintily to the bathroom. And next second I get in there, I'm like, like, wish so bad. So I come back, fucking face flush. I sit back down and I'm like, maybe it's my nerves, right? So I'm looking at him again. I'm like, you know, I actually had a dream that I had eggs, you know, before I got here. And I'm just kind of wondering, like, do you think there's any? No, there's no egg. So finally he goes, finds out that they put egg wash on the bread to make it shiny.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, I need to go. Because, right, I'm like literally going to shit my pants. And I don't want to tell him. And he's like, you want me to go with you? I don't want you to be sick. I'm like, no, don't go.
No shit.
Don't come with me. So, and his apartment is like 2 minutes away, right? He hands me the keys. You want me to go? Nah! I'm like, I don't even know if I have my jacket, bro. I'm walking down the street. All right. People are staring at me. It's like, it's more like up north, like Baltic. So it's like 9:30 at night and it's still bright outside. Dude, I'm throwing up in the corner. We can't even make it to the apartment. People are looking at me like, what the fuck happened to this bitch? And I'm just like, I'm not drunk. I'm just sick.
Which she gets that way with eggs.
Bro, oh my god. So then he's like texting me like crazy. I'm so sorry. You want me to come back? No, just fucking stay there. Dude, I was so scared. I didn't know what the apartment would smell. I knew what vomit smells like. So now because it's his brand new apartment, he just moved into his apartment, and I, you know, this is someone I'm dating and I wanted to be nice. I'm embarrassed. I'm literally throwing up with a fucking paper towel in my hand and scrubbing down the toilet.
Oh god.
It was really bad.
Well, safe to say, it was a good trip.
He came home
overall
with cupcakes and ate the fuck out of my pussy. So oh. I was like, this is a really good, sorry.
Head and cupcakes. I'll take that. That's a great way to end the night.
But it was awesome. It was just hanging out, massages, casino. We both love to gamble. We made some great porn. Let me just show you this one clip.
Ella, we don't want to really see your porn every time we it's come to the studio, bro. It's a great fucking picture.
How sick is this Look. Outfit? It's like Fifth Element, but like slut. Anyway, that's my anal plug in the corner and a little spit coming down from his mouth. But it was fun. And I bought a tripod for us. You know, I was like, babe, you know, I'm always like making videos for you. Finally, we can have some good shit. We can, you know.
Oh, God.
And we did. They're like 5-minute long videos. Normally they're 30 seconds because the other person wants to let go so they can fuck. So I was really excited.
This is awesome. I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum right now. I do want to let you listeners know that you guys will now be joining me on my journey of abstinence. I've had just too much mediocre dick lately.
You said
lately.
This when we first started the
I
know, show.
Well, and episodes. I went a month without dick and everyone was like, bro,
did you just hear that? Abstinence. I went a month without dick. Bro.
And everyone was like, you're so boring. You need dick. Weezy has all these stories. When are you going to have one? And then I literally just went through a nice little set where I was like, I've been getting some dick, but it's been very just mediocre. And except for 24/7, which we're on a every 6-week thing right now. And I just can't deal with it. He's never in town. Like, oh, so stressful. So I'm to the point now where even though I do have all these dicks in my phone that are available, I don't enjoy being around any of them. It's one of those where they're dicks to come over, but I don't want the dicks to talk. Just pull out the dick, put it in and go. And I don't want those relationships anymore. So I'm about to be abstinent until I can find someone who I actually enjoy being around.
I hate when we get sappy like this, but I know, it's I feel really you bad. Though.
Because
the best part of my weekend was watching Cheetos. I mean, watching a movie and eating Cheetos together naked.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and so,
do you know how embarrassing that is? They're like, wow, you flew 15 hours away. I'm like, oh my God, we cuddled and ate cupcakes and Cheetos. What the fuck? You know how embarrassing this is? We're going to literally get, people are going to click off the show now.
Yeah. Well, that's where I'm at, guys. Abstinence. I'll let you guys know when I have sex again.
In a month. If it's a month, it doesn't count.
Bro,
it's
a month
drought.
Counts because if I like the guy,
it's
the
a
abstinence
drought.
Is
it's
over.
It's not you being abstinent.
Well, the abstinence sounds a lot more convincing. Anyways, guys.
Are you fucking anyone else?
Welcome me
I
on
am.
My journey.
Ooh.
And this is our guest. So I guess she's our segue into Usher and herpes. I guess that's how she said she wanted to.
Really?
Like that was, well, kind of, not really. Kind
I'm
of.
The herpes consultant.
There we
this,
go.
On this rumor.
Yeah,
on this rumor of things. So let our listeners know. First of all, I know how Aussie you are because I stalked you.
Thank you.
But all of our listeners have not stalked you yet. Can you let our listeners know who you are, what you do, just a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So my name's Ella. I am internet famous for having herpes, I guess is really the bluntest way to put that. I'd always been a sex writer. I wrote erotica in college. I'd always been fascinated by sexual health in general, and then shockingly contracted an STD in college and had like a lovely little mini meltdown of like, maybe all the conservatives are right and like I shouldn't be having sex. That lasted like 5 minutes. And and I realized like herpes is so ridiculously common and there's this huge inflated stigma about it. And so I wrote one article for Women's Health and it went insanely viral on the internet, was picked up by Washington Post and Yahoo News and like Huffington Post and all these places and BuzzFeed and everything. Mm-hmm. So overnight I went from like, maybe I should write about herpes and how common it is. And then it was like, fuck, if you Google me, Google's like, did you mean Ella Dawson herpes? like it's done. Like overnight, face of herpes.
Did you ever regret it at one point when it got that big?
Oh, sure. Because it's when you become viral like that, it is terrifying because it's so much attention at once. And
absolutely.
Even if none of it is negative, and most of it was super, super positive at the beginning, like there were so many people messaging me on Facebook and like finding my email and sending me their stories. And it was like I had unlocked something and suddenly there was an avalanche of people being like, me too.
Right.
And that's petrifying. And I was 22. Like I was a baby. Like it was a lot.
So it was a wild ride. I
how
read the
was
article.
That?
Yeah, well, yeah. Explain. How old are you now?
I am 25 now. So okay. I'm still a baby, but I was even more of a baby. And so that was like 2 years ago. That was April 2015.
Were you, because Mandy mentioned, oh my God, she's only 23 when we were watching your TED Talks. You mm-hmm. were 23 then.
So I gave my TEDx talk like a month before my 24th birthday.
Okay.
So yeah. So that was last April. I'm a May baby.
It was so great.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I told her, I was like, bro, it's only 16 minutes. If you don't find the time to watch this shit before she comes on the show, like, I'm not going to have you on with her. I want you to explain, because I read the article, and again, with the TED Talks, you say that herpes is associated with people who are dirty or promiscuous or yes. people who have a ton of sex.
You definitely got it. Like 100%. My God.
Two or three strains of it. Who knows? Can you have more? So what was your sex life like when you found out mm-hmm. you caught it? And can you share the story of when you caught it, like where you were in your life, what you were doing sexually?
Sure. So I was a big old slut in college. I had a ton of fun. I was super into casual sex, not excessively, but like more than a girl is supposed to, because
were
we
you
live
safe?
In this. And I was, yeah. I had always used condoms. I had never had unprotected sex at all. Yeah. And I was kind of like the asshole in my friend group who like gave out condoms and worked for Planned Parenthood and would like yell
oh my God,
at my
I
friends.
Love you.
Yeah. And I remember like a few years before I got diagnosed, a friend came to me and was like, I really prefer having sex without condoms. And I like reamed him a new one being like, you're going to get herpes. And then a few years later, I was like, so I'm really sorry that I was such a dick. But anyway, no, I was super safe, but I was having a lot of casual sex, and I wound up meeting somebody, falling super hard, like we were spending every day together, and we were using protection. But 3 weeks into our relationship, I had an outbreak of genital herpes, and I was very surprised. And he immediately, like, he had been super sweet and charismatic and wonderful, and immediately it was like Jekyll and Hyde of like, I knew I shouldn't have dated somebody like you, like this is all your fault.
And was
like,
it from him?
Well,
I
wouldn't know.
Yeah, it's hard to prove, but I found out after the fact that he was very unfaithful to other girlfriends and just was like not a great character. And I wouldn't be surprised. But at the time, I was like, okay, I'm the sex writer. I must have been carrying this. Like, I'm so sorry I gave this to you. Like, I just took
the
responsibility
sex writer?
For
what?
It. I was writing about sex, like that was a huge part of my life, and I was like, okay, I must have had this. I didn't even think that he might have given it to me.
Okay, gotcha.
So it was a whole like whodunit kind of dramatic
right.
millennial.
I almost want to point out, I just love that. Just to backtrack, we had a sex worker, an escort on our last show, mm-hmm. who's like never gave oral sex without a condom. You were writing about sex and sleeping with a bunch of people and always use condoms, and there's always this stigma that promiscuous women or open free women are just mm-hmm. like super unsafe and all over the place. Like, I just love that you're like, no, condom.
Yeah, I had never had sex without a condom for years and years and years, and then I got diagnosed, and then I got an IUD, and I was in like a serious committed relationship with somebody, and we just stopped using condoms. And this was well after I got diagnosed, and it was something that we talked about.
How did you
lot,
break it to him, like that you had it, and what was his reaction?
The later boyfriend, or who, which is
any boyfriend, really any boyfriend that you've mm-hmm. had. You were diagnosed, and you're still yes. not, you have a normal dating life.
Yeah.
You've had relationships, clearly more than one.
Yeah.
And they're okay with having sex with you. So how do you open up to somebody and say, listen, this is what I have, and mm-hmm. how do they receive it?
Yeah, so the good thing about being internet famous for having herpes is I'm very rarely on a date and they don't already know. Like I'm even now on Tinder, and it'll get to the point like where we're chatting and then like before we actually meet up for drinks, he'll be like, just want to let you know, like I googled you and I think what you do is great, and like, it's already like taken care of. And I have a first date tomorrow with somebody who met on Tinder. Yeah, and it'll be fun. Hopefully.
Sorry, I couldn't help it.
But
it's like my
room
for you.
Thank you. My cheerleader. But I was really nervous about breaking the news because of all this Usher stuff. I've been feeling more down on myself for it. And the way that I broke the ice about it was, I was like, so I'm going on this podcast. I'm going to talk about herpes and all this. And he's like, why are you like the consultant they're bringing on? And I was like, well, I have it, and I write about it, and I gave a TEDx talk about it, and he, like, you could see, like, the read receipt came up, and then a few minutes later, he's like, that's really interesting. Is that, like, how does that impact your dating life? And I was like, well, like, condoms, I guess, but otherwise, it's usually a conversation I have, like, this one at the beginning of a relationship, and then it becomes irrelevant when somebody realizes that two and three people have the strain that I have, and he's like, oh, yeah. And I think it's like 90% have the other strains, right? Altogether.
Oh, yeah. It's like 80% of people. Yeah.
It's
I looked
super
up,
high.
When I got tested, it just says normal. And then like the little less than symbol.
Yeah.
Like
so yeah. Everyone has a strain in them. And that's why I do want to let you guys know that are listening. That Ella is not an MD. So we're not going to be able to provide medical advice for you. However, get on Google, look it up. That's what she did. She actually says, you know, and this is what I wanted to bring up in your TED Talk. And I'd love to bring it to the show is the misconceptions. You named three.
Yes.
And I wanted to talk about those because as you were saying them, I was like, yes, bitch. Yes, bitch. Yes. Bitch, clearly you ain't watched the video.
I did.
I'm about to fuck you up.
But I also had to pretend to work.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So can we list those again for the followers? Like, I know one was just the education of it, blah, blah, blah. Like what we receive in school.
Oh,
that
where,
was the one.
Where the stigma comes from.
Where the stigmas come from. Yes.
Sure. Yeah. So we can start with that with school. Like most of us, I received abstinence only sex education.
Me too. Okay. Just don't have sex.
I think most
if you
of
have
us
sex, you're going to die and get pregnant.
Exactly. Like. And even if you did get more comprehensive sex, like sure, you might have been taught how to put a condom on a banana, but you really weren't given great information about STDs. It was just like very scary photos and like misinformation and really scary shit. And it was.
You know, when you Google it now, it's like, whoa.
It's horrifying.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Like it's not a fun Google. Don't do Google image. Like don't do that to yourself. That's just going to drive you insane. But no, so I when we have that terrible sex ed, we're not taught anything about if you do get it, or here's how to talk to your partner about it, or here's how to get tested.
Absolutely.
It's just like, you better not fucking get an STD.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. That's
the
end of the
end of your life. That's the end of your life.
Yeah.
Right.
And so when you do get diagnosed, if you get diagnosed, or if your partner does, or if someone discloses to you, your brain just goes to that panic space of like, I'm going to die. Like, this is it. This is the end of my life. No one's ever going to touch me again. And you're not given any information about how common it is, how to actually protect yourself. Like, condoms, yes. Dental dams, things like that when you're having oral sex, like being smart about that. Oral sex is one of the biggest ways that herpes is transmitted. Like, it's something to think about. And there's just so much misinformation coming from sex ed, which is not sex ed. It's abstinence. It's like, it's not helpful. So
absolutely.
That's number one. And yeah, I hate abstinence education. I will like go off on that forever.
yes, you're like really feeding my activist soul right now.
I get pissed. I actually nearly was suspended from my high school for giving out condoms in my abstinence class.
Are you kidding
me? Yeah, because I was like, I'm a Planned Parenthood rep, and according to the House of Representatives, this education leads to like XYZ rates of teen pregnancy, and I started giving out condoms.
Fucking
and the
Ella,
teacher
yeah.
was just like looking, it was like a volleyball coach being like, you need to stop or I will send you to the headmaster's office. It was a whole fucking thing.
You're like, I am the headmaster. Master, and that's why
not the condoms. So I like took all the condoms back and I was like, my locker's in the theater wing, it's unlocked,
awesome.
Help yourself. And within a few weeks, like all of the bros at my school knew me because they would come and be like, do you have still have those condoms? So fuck
people
that.
Are scared
anyway.
To like go, I mean, think about a small town, they don't want to fucking go to CVS and get caught
well,
up or,
yeah no. I just actually so I'm having this weird sinus thing going on with my ears and
I don't
my
know
throat.
Where this is going
no well this is it was so funny so I go to pick up my prescription because I have like really bad sinus with my ear and my throat. And at this point, I'm looking up throat things. There's this new gonorrhea strain. I'm just like, oh, shit, I did just swallow last week. I'm scared. So, so I go to the damn doctor to make sure everything's OK. Piss in a cup, you know, all that stuff. And so I get a prescription, an antibiotic for my ear. And when I go, it's a $10 fucking minimum on the debit card. Bitch, I got Medicaid. My right. So my prescription only $1. So I'm like, shit, what am I gonna get? I said, you know what? Go ahead and give me a pack of condoms. The guy at the store was so happy. He said, come here. I give you the big pack. He gives me no, and you know what? He's like, I even give you discount. He was like, I gotta get rid of these shits. Nobody buys condoms.
Wow.
Swear to God. And he's like, listen, here's my card. I'll deliver your prescription. Hell, I'll deliver a condom. He said, I'll deliver condoms.
I
want to
deliver dick at this point, maybe.
Well, no, he was, no, but he was really nice. He was like, yo, like, they get expired and, you know, he pays for it. It's inventory.
Oh,
there's an expiration date on them.
Wow.
So he's like, I'll give you the big pack. He gave me, like, the big pack. He took off almost $3. So I have now a 10 pack of condoms. Which, mind you, made me
Damn
get
it,
judged
you're abstinent, bro.
Because, of course, well, of course, that night I have sex. So I go to pull them out. I got the kind that Candy suggested, the 40% thinner Trojans.
Fair skin.
So I go to pull that out. The nigga's like, well, do you have Magnums? I actually did in my purse from another time. So now he's like, wait, you even had options of condoms? So I'm just like.
I do, but I have a sex
story. But
it's
so
it's
funny that you say that because, yeah, like he literally was like, people don't buy condoms, and you just said people are ashamed to buy condoms at CVS. It's like a stigma, like how girls feel when they go to buy tampons for the first time because they're bleeding.
I think my old roommate ordered them on Amazon.
It's so crazy. So, okay, so you handed those out. So sex ed, abstinence, bro, it's bullshit. You can still apparently get herpes even with a condom, which a lot of people don't know. It's the skin
to
skin.
It's skin contact. It's not fluid. So if you're snuggling and if somebody is like, it's called asymptomatic viral shedding, which is a horrible term, but it means it's not that common, but there, or it is.
I heard you mention the wrestling mat.
Yeah, it's wrestling is a whole other thing, but you can transmit herpes if you're not having an outbreak. Like it's something like 10% of the time you can, and that rate goes down the longer that you've had herpes. And for me, like my last outbreak was 2 years ago. Like I'm not really that concerned about giving somebody herpes, but yeah, you can get it from like vigorous rubbing if you want to.
Now
like,
2 years ago,
it's a whole thing.
You said your last outbreak was 2 years ago, so you're not what. Is the frequency of an outbreak?
So are you dormant now? What would, or is just really your body, really, right?
It's your body, yeah. For me, like, I had my first outbreak 3 weeks after getting it. I had a really bad immune system. I'm not the healthiest person in
your
general.
Your first one was your only one.
So I had my second one, so I've had two, and my second one was 2 years after that, and I was working a really crazy conference in a different time zone, and my body was just like, where are you? Like, what is going on? This is so stressful, and I had an outbreak because of stress in my body, and my body just freaked out, and I probably won't have another one, honestly, because I have HSV-1, which is usually associated with oral herpes, but you can have it genitally, but it tends to just be a bit milder. And as a result, I'm probably not likely to have another one anytime soon unless there's like a body trigger. But yeah, it's pretty chill for me. I got lucky. I got like the lazy strain of herpes.
No wonder you're telling everybody.
Right. So
yeah, it's ironic. Like it does not impact my life except that it's now like my internet reputation.
And so your outbreak is on your mouth or is it on
it's genital.
It's genital. Yeah. Okay. And so HSV-1 can be both because I assumed that HSV-1 was just oral. Type 2 was genital.
So that's what people think, but what it has to do is it has to do with where it's hosted in your body, like where on your spine it is. And HSV-1, I believe, is towards the top of your body, and it's usually associated with oral herpes, and you get cold sores and things like that. But you can have either strain in either place. I think oral HSV-2 is very, very rare. But yeah, you can have HSV-1 genitally, and it's actually on the rise among women, especially in college, because of all the oral sex that they're having, which, like, go ladies, like, yes, but make sure your partner's not having a cold sore. Common misconception.
That's good to know. And so
I also didn't know that you could get it when someone wasn't having an outbreak.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because Mandy's got a friend who was saying she doesn't tell.
So I have two friends. And we've openly talked about it. And that was my first question is like, so do you tell people that you have sex with? Because at the same time, they're both girls that condoms aren't fun. Like it doesn't feel right. I don't like how it feels. And I'm just like, bro, but you know, you have herpes, and both of them do not tell their partners.
Yeah,
and so it's just like, I know. And it's just like, but they both date black men. And clearly you've been reading these Usher comments. And so I want to get into that as well. Just how maybe it may be more accepted in what, I don't want to say white culture. Like, I don't want to make this a race thing, but for sure.
No, we are a lot more
uneducated and ignorant when it comes to these type of things, especially the things we say and how hurtful
we can
be. I
think it comes to that, just the ignorance,
The ignorance, for sure. So I guess I can bring it up because I want to bring this into how you go through dating with it.
Feeling, I don't know if you'd use the word shaming yourself. What did you just say?
I've just been feeling icky and like down
on it. Right, so I want to ask you, why is that?
Yeah.
Because you've been this advocate for it. You've gotten so much positive feedback. Now the Usher thing comes out, and for you guys who don't know, if you've been sleeping under a rock, it just came out that Usher paid a woman $1.1 million because she contracted herpes from him. He's been positive. There's court docs showing that he was tested positive in 2009. So he's known that. There's now been a second female that, since this information has come out, has now sued him and is asking for $20 million.
I saw that.
Because she just went and got tested.
I might take the herpes for that,
ridiculous.
Bro.
Bitch,
I'm taking herpes for $1 million. I don't give a fuck. Yeah. But she's suing.
I wish I had $20 million.
Get the fuck out of here. Y'all, right? Y'all really not going to have herpes for $1 million? Anyways. Yeah. So now there's someone else suing saying, hey, I slept with Usher. I want $20 million because I just got tested positive. However, I've had the conversation with friends, and just like you said, you can't, you, especially if you're not tested for it. And the doctor that came on, Dr. Kim, who you guys love, she said that they're not really testing for it unless you maybe get a pap smear. Mm-hmm. And I believe it was your TED Talk. You said you've heard it was expensive, or
Well, a lot of doctors, sure. A lot of doctors won't test you for herpes, even if you ask, because they think that if you have it and you're asymptomatic, you're better off not knowing that you have it, because the stigma is so powerful. And like a lot of people suffer from mental health issues after they get diagnosed because it's so devastating, the news, because the stigma is so bad. So there are a lot of doctors who are like, hey, it's not going to affect your life and if you're not having symptoms, like clearly you're not feeling anything negative, you don't need to be on medication for that, we're just not going to test you. Like, we're not,
if you have an outbreak, come and we'll give you a cream, but wow, other than that, you don't need to know.
Yeah. And the other thing is that the testing itself makes no sense, and because it's, there are a bunch of different ways to get tested. You can get a culture taken from a sore, which is pretty reliable testing.
It was just like,
it might just be like a weird skin thing that they can take a culture from, or whatever it is. But
so mine didn't have mine was just like regular STD testing, and then she swabbed and took a
If you were getting a pap, that's what Dr. Kim said, that during your pap they will test you because it's a yearly. But again, if you fuck 20 guys in a year,
from a sore,
they might be able to get it from a swab. I'm not entirely sure, but I do know that culture testing tends to be a bit more reliable.
Okay.
But if you're getting like a blood test, it's testing how many, like how prevalent the
percentage,
the virus is in your body, and the percentage. This is where I'm a little confused because I don't have a science brain, but they give you like a numerical score, and they give you like a window of like, if you're below this amount, like you're probably negative, and if you're above this amount, you're probably positive, and if you're in between, like we don't even know what to tell you. And
yeah,
I don't test positive for herpes on those. I come in like the neutral zone. They're like, we don't know. I had a doctor try to tell me I didn't have herpes, and I was like, bro, that ship has sailed. Like,
right,
don't even. And he was like,
I saint it.
Right.
Yeah, I was like, I have lived it. It's Google. Don't worry about it. But, but like, and he himself was like insisting, no, you probably don't have it, because he thought I was better off thinking I didn't have it, even if I did, because the stigma is so bad and test is so unreliable. So I don't know. I've heard a lot of doctors tell me different reasons for why they don't test. I've also had a lot of friends be like, yeah, I demanded a test and they still said no.
Yeah. And wow. I also want to let the listeners know, like you said, like even Dr. Kim said, so it's through a pap, blood, or the scalpel, whatever, what'd you say?
Scalpel?
Culture?
The culture. Oh, yes. My bad. Yep,
I'm like, they don't know if they're taking.
So when you're going in, I do want to let our listeners know, when you're going in and you're pissing in a cup, that's checking you for trick, chlamydia, syphilis. Like
right. Not herpes.
Not herpes. So even though that test could come back clean and negative, there's still a possibility if you do not ask or request for a herpes test. So going back to the Usher thing, this lady finds out that she's positive. And because she slept with Usher, apparently he had to be the one to give it to her.
That's where I'm like, bitch, I don't believe you.
I want to know legally if she has a case.
So the frustrating thing is that in certain states, like, it is technically illegal to have sex with someone and know your status and not tell them. That's considered
illegal. I thought
that
was just with HIV, though.
It is, but it does apply to other STDs when they are, like, lifelong. Like, herpes isn't curable.
Right.
But it's primarily, it's primarily the HIV criminalization laws, which I think are trash and not effective and just add to stigma. And I have a lot of feelings about that. But
okay.
So she may have a case, but at the same time, like, it is so hard to prove how, like, when you got herpes,
you got it,
who gave it to you.
Because it could have just been sitting in your body, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people get it as kids, is the thing. And, like, never know about it, never get tested, never show symptoms because it's cold sores. Like, you get it from a family member who kisses you on the mouth.
And
like,
it's so, my sister, so growing up, my sister, actually.
I'm like, are you about to fucking call her one of your sisters?
It doesn't, right? Well, no, whatever. But she got cold sores. I have friends that get cold sores.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
And when you call them cold sores, it's not bad, but
they're herpes.
so if you get a cold sore.
And you can give someone genital herpes.
Oh, absolutely. And I have friends that get cold sores, and it's like, bitch, keep your lipstick.
So if I didn't have genital herpes and I had a cold sore.
And you gave someone head, you can give them, absolutely.
Wait, no, if you have genital herpes and you give someone head, you can't transmit because you
don't
have it.
No, but if you have it in your mouth.
If you have it orally
so
and you've
I've never
someone,
had
yes.
genital herpes. I've never had it. I've just had a cold sore because I've had a cold sore in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Not recently. So you probably have HSV-1. Yep.
Yeah.
If y'all want to see the look on her face. Well, anyways, I want to get back to the story because my sister. Well, my sister.
It'll be okay.
Right, it will. I'm freaking out. See?
You know what the fuck is happening? Oh my god, am I tearing up?
Yes, you're tearing up. Oh my god. Well, my sister has it too, so join the club with her.
Oh my god. Wait,
we're not gonna get into
the secret society.
Right, the secret society. Look, welcome.
I've totally been tested, and I didn't get. I mean, it didn't come back.
The thing is, like, you might not test positive for it, and you might not be at any risk of transmitting.
I wonder
it either,
if it's because it hasn't been since I've been a teenager.
Well, I don't. Well, my sister used to get them really bad growing up, to like where she would miss school because she'd have one and then it would spread. Mm-hmm. And
teenagers are horrible. And
when you're young, especially because your immune system is different. So it would literally, you're stressed. In the house and it would be like, okay, girl, here's your cup, your spoon, and your fork for the week. Don't touch anything else.
So I never had anything that intense. It's just been like the.
But even my other friend, we were just going out and she had one and she was trying to. I was like, girl, there's a Breva in the goddamn cabinet. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, get it off. It's not that serious. But and so it's crazy because something else you mentioned. So you see how easy it was to talk about it as a cold sore as opposed to herpes.
It scared me.
It's so crazy because you open your TED Talk. Like, who in here has allergies?
I loved it.
And I absolutely loved
it. I was like, eggs, Ella, eggs.
And then she goes to say, who in here has herpes? And there's not one.
Literally no one.
Literally not one hand raised. And
did they know what you were going to talk about?
The audience?
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
Which was great. Nobody introduced me. I just like rolled on up on the stage. It was like a college organized event. So they were great, but there was not a lot of stage craft. So I was going to say, like,
I noticed that there were things that you said were funny and they didn't laugh till a little bit after. I could tell it's because they were like, holy shit. Oh my God.
It was also like 10 a.m. on a Saturday. So everyone in that room was hungover. It was kind of amazing. Oh. So that might have been part of it. But no, people were genuinely
they enjoyed you. But I noticed that for excited. I don't know if I
was
tense. Watching you.
There was tension. Yeah.
Yeah. Holy shit. So, wow.
Do you want to talk? So
I don't even know if I can talk. What?
Right. Now she's
lost. I need to text a few people right now.
So I do want to ask you, and again, bringing back to the Usher thing, you've been reading the comments. You've been feeling icky. Mm-hmm. Clearly, people are shaming the shit out of him and saying his life is ruined now.
Well, the other thing is they're lumping it in with R. Kelly, which is pissing me off. They're like, R. Kelly is a sex cult. Not sure has herpes. And I'm like, those two are not
which
the same
one would
thing.
You rather do? Yeah.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on,
it's literally
guys.
Been like, would you rather have herpes? And one point, and I'm not going to lie. Oh, you weren't. But I did. I sent it in my group chat with my homegirls. So I said, you got to pick one. So I said, A, would you rather have herpes with $1.1 million? Or would you rather be in a sex cult where you can't talk to any of your friends or family? Or B, would you rather be pregnant and being cheated on by someone who's shorter than you? Because apparently Kevin Hart was cheating on his wife.
This is the worst would you rather I've ever played.
I'm going to definitely not go with C. Because you can never, ever ignore it. And I feel like herpes,
apparently you can ignore it. Apparently
$1 million, I can ignore that shit real nice at Fiji.
Apparently, you're still getting freaking Tinder dates. So,
I'm doing fine.
and this is what I want our listeners to know. If for whatever reason you do get tested and you have this positive result, don't stalk Ella like I did to find her and ask her all these questions. But do a Google search and do like psychologically
do your
it will do your due diligence to to inform yourself on the things the same way that you did. And I wanted to ask you, of all the comments that you've seen, because I'm you know it's making you feel icky, what has been the worst part of what people normally say about herpes? Like, what is something that has stood out to you as far as, oh my God, people still really think like this?
Oh man. So I should preface this by saying, like, I get a lot of harassment online because I write a lot about feminism as well as sexual health. And like the men's rights activists and the alt-right, like, they love me because it's a great example of like, these feminists be crazy. They're preaching herpes acceptance. So I see a lot of like horrific stuff on the daily. But just in terms of the Usher stuff, like,
you're on
it's
Twitter.
So,
it's there.
Oh right. Yeah. I'm sure you guys
it's
have
everywhere.
Experienced like all sorts of horrible stuff online.
Horrible.
it's scarring. So I've like definitely read my fair share of like really horrific things people say about herpes, but even in the context of the Usher thing, like, because he's a celebrity and all of the other many things that make it okay to make fun of Usher, like, even publications I respect have been just, like, leaning hard into this story because it's so salacious. And, like, Vice ran a story that was, like, would you have sex with Usher and get herpes for $1 million? And they interviewed people on the street, and they found, like, 8 people. And it was just, like, Vice, you should know better. Like, you've interviewed me about this. Yeah. And my favorite part was all the people were like, fuck no, I wouldn't do that. And it's, like, statistically, you already have it. All of you. You just said no to $1 million and having sex with Usher, which, like, I would probably do anyway. So
I know that's
seriously,
right.
Seriously, guys.
You know what's funny? I was having that conversation with myself, like, but I just wouldn't have said it out loud. And I was like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I just kind of feel like, why would
I feel like there's quite a few. So listeners, if you're listening, well, clearly you're listening at this point. If you're sitting there, think of your celebrity crush. And I just think to yourself,
oh, Jon Snow, he's getting it.
Would you have sex with him knowing that they have herpes?
And the thing is, all of your favorite celebrities have herpes. All of them. Like, I have done my research. Like, all of them have herpes. Britney Spears has herpes. Derek Jeter has herpes. Derek Jeter's rumored to have given it to, like, everyone. Like,
which is probably why he used to give them gifts. He used to do gift baskets to the girls.
Yeah.
He literally used to, all everyone who dates him used to get a gift basket.
Probably with some Valtrex in there. Like, yeah, no, like, all of your favorite celebrities have herpes. Even, like, Sweet Robin Williams had herpes. Like, everyone, Billy Idol has herpes. Like, they all do. And the thing is, like, if you think about it that way,
like, okay,
I'd fuck him.
Yeah. Anyway, so, like, the moment I learned about that, I started to be like, oh, this is kind of ridiculous. And the other thing, like, I've had like hot coworkers or like hot classmates, these people who I've been like, oh my god, this person is so gorgeous, I wish they would talk to me. And they've, like, asked me out for lunch after watching my talk, and I've been like, oh, I finally have my chance with this. And they're always like, so I have herpes and I've never told anyone but you and my mom and my girlfriend.
Wow.
And I'm like, this is mind blowing, because I'm like, you are, like, the most fuckable person I know. And they carry, like, so much shame and self doubt, and I'm like, what is fucking wrong with you?
But it's
like,
literally, what I think goes on with the ignorance that I said in our community is people caring what everyone thinks.
Reaction that was like, I can't do this.
I had one person turn me down, but he said that he had just gotten over chlamydia and he was like, I can't do it again. That was the only rejection I've actually had.
That's fair then. He was still probably popping his antibiotics.
I almost get it. It's just like, it's just the fear. Like, I can't.
And the thing is, like, there have probably been people who have, like, been interested in me and changed their minds. Like, I'm sure there have been people who have been like, Ella's really gorgeous, or I think she's really smart, but I can't do that. But I, like, to the point where I've actually approached someone, I've never actually been turned down because they've already, like, decided in their brain. My favorite story, and I tell this in my talk, but
share it,
like,
with us,
the
baby.
Longer version is kind of more fun. I was at a party my senior year, like, 6 months after getting diagnosed, like, freshly single, like, feeling really good about myself, but also super nervous. And this really cute guy was flirting with me at a party, super gorgeous. And this, like, case of norovirus, like, this super flu had gone around campus. And he asked me if I wanted the rest of his Heineken. And I was like, you don't have norovirus, do you, right? Because everybody was puking in trash cans. He was like, no, and I also don't have herpes. And I just looked at him and I was like, do I say something? Like, do I laugh? Do I walk away? Like, clearly,
is this my moment?
This is a problem. And I was just like, that's, like, not that funny because I have it and it's really common. And he just looked at me and, like, you could see on his face, like,
he
I just blew it with this amazing girl. And that moment of him being like, wow, I'm such a dick. And he immediately, to his credit, he immediately apologized. And I saw later him, like, Googling herpes transmission statistics on his phone. Like, I caught him doing it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I love
and
that.
We had sex that weekend and then dated for like 10 months.
You dated almost a year. Yeah. I loved that when I heard that.
That is awesome.
Yeah. And there was a point, like, a few months into our relationship where he was like, look, I'm just going to assume that I have it. I don't really care. Like, it doesn't bother me. Like, I love you. Don't worry about it. Because we had had a conversation where I was like, I'm really nervous that if I do transmit to you, you're going to hate me. And he was like, how the hell could I do that? You're like the love of my life. You're amazing. It's not a thing. If it happens, it happens.
And it's really because everyone's body is different. And you do say that all the time. But even you, it's the outbreak. Those pictures are disgusting.
Yeah.
But yet in 3 or 4 years, you had 2 outbreaks.
I've had two. And they haven't been fun. Like, I don't enjoy them. They are having herpes. If you do have, like,
painful?
An active strain. The first outbreak was hella painful. I'm not gonna pretend it wasn't. It was like peeing glass. It was terrible. I hated it. And your first outbreak sucks. Like that is how it goes, and then it gets easier usually. And there's some people who have like more more severe cases who have outbreaks more often. Like some people, it isn't fun. I've gotten some criticism for like making herpes sound super chill. Like it's not. But the vast majority of the time.
But it's also not there all the time, yeah, constantly.
Exactly. And okay, compared to like other things that you can have wrong, other skin conditions, other health conditions, cancer, like, I would gladly choose herpes over almost anything in the world. So
yeah, for something incurable.
I've had more, right. Yeah, I've had more severe like head colds, like sinus infections.
Now, does this mean, because I was like trying to read a little bit more. So I'm 26, mm-hmm, and I'm just now getting Gardasil. Apparently, I can't find in any doctor, in any old, like, records that I've ever had it.
What is Gardasil?
Gardasil is the HPV prevention.
Vaccine. Right. Well, mm-hmm, and I don't even know how you're allowed to get it because I actually was...
Because I'm not 27 yet.
Well, no. I was looking that you could... It's something that you should have been given as a teenager, mm-hmm, and you have up to 24 to get it.
They told me really? That at 26 yeah. you could, but...
No, I just looked this up. So there is a vaccine, and it's so funny because...
Well, it's not covered by insurance anymore. That's what you mean.
Well, not only... No, it's not.
After a certain age, after 24, it's not.
Yeah, well, not only that, also apparently it's something in which doctors don't even suggest. It should be given to us like how we get our Hep A or Hep B shots. Like,
right.
And so when I looked up this vaccine, so there is a vaccine that you can get when you're younger.
For HPV.
Which I wanted to bring up because I heard that it... Go ahead.
So the thing about it is doctors stay away from recommending this vaccine as they do the Hep A, the Hep B, the tetanus, whatever, because they consider HPV to be sexually transmitted. Ugh. And it's something that's uncomfortable to talk about with children, or they don't feel like they right. need to be vaccinated for something because it's sexually transmitted, and so it's something that they don't recommend parents to take.
Like, there's 3 rounds of shots, so yeah. That's it. Before I went to Cuba, I turned 26 this year in March. Before I went to Cuba, $30. She's like, I'm just gonna let you know, I'm really sorry, but your next round is gonna cost you $380.
Whoa.
Called Dr. Kim. I'm like, in Canada. So actually, I'm going to Japan because it's every 3 months. So my next one, I'm going to buy it in Japan.
Cool. Okay.
I'm just going to get the name of the vaccine, whatever it is, and buy it there because, you know, in Asia, drugs are cheaper. But I'm going to put this shit right in my booty.
So do you happen to know, you said HPV is not herpes?
Nope. Different viruses.
Mm. So HSV is herpes. Mm-hmm. So
HSV is herpes simplex virus.
Herpes simplex. So this mm-hmm. HPV is preventing what?
Well, I just read a few things about, obviously men can't find out if they have HPV.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. You know, and they host in women. And I believe a comedian, Ali Wong, said it's either the kind that's just dormant in your body or it can fucking kill you and give you cervical cancer and
yeah.
sometimes
well, yeah,
herpes.
And that's
or
what,
warts.
And yeah. that's what Dr. Kim said as well. Like HPV can lead to cancers.
Mm-hmm.
But the warts are not
herpes then?
No.
Wow. I didn't know
different
that.
Things.
Okay.
Just warts. Just HPV symptoms, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Okay. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like I just got schooled, and you're not a doctor.
I mean, we get... Well,
this is my expertise, apparently.
And again,
so.
Well, this goes to her Googling and taking initiative to look up these things.
God, what are you talking
which
about
is,
on dates?
Which is
you,
what
I'm sure you're really fun. What do you like to do on Saturdays?
All I want to do is have, like, a long conversation about Harry Potter on a date. Like, that's all I want to talk about.
Did
is,
you see
like,
there's 2
Hogwarts
new books coming
house.
Out in October?
I did see that. I have a lot of opinions, and I want to talk about that on a date instead of herpes. anything to
do
talk
they all
about
bring
Harry
it
Potter.
Up
no I mean it depends
I think the TEDx I mean yeah. that is like to me I don't know if you guys know if you don't mind explaining I know you work for them now mm-hmm. I saw it on your LinkedIn because we stalked you if you could explain
I did wait and then the funny thing is I thought we lost her for good because she didn't respond to my email the first day so I go on Twitter and I'm like hey can all of y'all at and put her at
no,
me
you didn't.
And tell her to come on the podcast I did she's like can you please not do that I said oh my god I'm so sorry but she responded so I was like okay we're getting yeah. somewhere
and she mad but
and literally I'm at work today she was like girl did you check the email I was like I literally was so happy because I definitely wanted to bring you on the show to talk about this and here you go bringing light to such a dull dim dark topic I guess
honestly I was you guys just diagnosed me I'm scared as fuck I'm about to go online and just be like just to give you guys a warning this communal blunt yeah okay so I want to kind of get off this oh why don't we do some listener questions
well yeah so I have so we have home mail
Yes.
And this one I think is good because it kind of brings us back to not so whorish ways, I guess. So it says, warning, this is a long one. Forgive me. Please keep me anonymous. Girl, you know we are. So I just wanted to say that this podcast has really helped me confront a lot of insecurities regarding sexual desires and relationships. I'm probably on the complete opposite end of the spectrum, girl, we know. But I just wanted to know if you guys could give me some advice about navigating sex and dating as a 23-year-old virgin. So she's a virgin, guys. It's kind of embarrassing sometimes, but I'm a late bloomer and just lost a lot of weight in the past few years, so I've avoided sexual relationships for my entire life simply because I was uncomfortable in my own skin for so long. I'm super sex positive when it comes to supporting others, and I want to have fun and experience new things so badly, but it's hard to just jump in when you're so behind everyone else your age. I'm attracted to both men and women, and not to toot my own horn, but I could be sleeping with several people who are still interested in me, even after finding out that I'm hella inexperienced. If you guys were in my situation, what would you do? How do I calm down enough to let somebody in? Literally. My biggest fear is that I'll just be some funny story they tell or someone they'll regret sleeping with later. By the way, you guys can read this on the show. Thank you again for being so open and honest about your lives. It's really inspired me to grow and learn about myself.
Oh, I love that, a virgin said that. Because yeah. Can I just say, when I read this email, I was so confused because I was like, I don't know if you give the advice to someone to get it over with or to take your time.
So I actually wrote her because I felt like, you know, this was something who knew when we were going to read this on the show. And my advice to her was, first off, to make sure she was comfortable with herself and doing it because she wanted to do it. Mm-hmm. I told her, don't feel like you have to have sex to validate yourself because everyone else is doing it or because it's going to make you feel special. Because I'm not even going to lie, if I could go back and tell my young self something, it would literally be that sex is not going to keep a man. It's not going to make a guy like you more. It's not going to make a guy stay. It's not going to, you having sex with him isn't going to make him like you any more than he already does. And so my advice to her was to make sure that when she goes and has sex, however nasty she want to do it, it's probably going to be terrible actually the first time because you don't even know what it feels like. But I told her to make sure she wanted to do it and she wasn't doing it to please someone else. Do you have, you know, you were in college having fun and we've been having fun since we were fucking 16 with fake IDs. So what advice would you give her for someone, you know, a virgin wanting to get out there and of course to be safe?
Yeah, no, it's funny. I've had this conversation recently with a lot of my friends who are in their middle 20s and either like are really inexperienced or haven't had sex or like feel like they haven't as much sex as other people. Like I have had this conversation like 5 times in the last 6 months.
Oh, wow.
So I feel like, first of all, you are not alone. Like I know everyone is constantly talking about sex and it's sex is everywhere and sex is in the media and it's like unavoidable, but you're not weird. You're not strange. Like you're not delayed. Like this is just your life and you're living it how you choose to and you're doing what you want and do not feel abnormal. Don't listen to that pressure. Like you're fine. You're totally fine.
That's a good thing because you do kind of feel like, oh my God, I'm weird.
Yeah.
What's wrong with me?
I didn't lose my virginity until I turned 18 and like I was in my high school. Like I desperately wanted to have sex.
The condom passing girl.
Yeah. I was like giving condoms out. I would like bring friends to CVS to buy. I was the person who bought everybody Plan B. Like I was everybody's sex
friend. Girl, you was rich in high school because them things is not cheap.
I think you mean going up to the counter.
Oh, okay. You bought it for them. Okay.
Yeah. I'd be like, give me your money and I will go buy
you. You touched me a little bit with the Planned Parenthood thing because I would volunteer to drive girls because I had a license to get abortions. And
to get abortions.
For real. Because, dude, listen, I still go to Planned Parenthood to get birth control just to put my money back into the system. And even when I'm walking up, if it's a Tuesday, because that's the day they do abortions in Soho, there's women getting ready to come for me. And I'm like, hold up, bitch. Even if I was, you going to take care of this motherfucking baby? Oh, and God forbid you talk about a bitch on welfare. And let me just have this baby. And then what? And then when his motherfucking ass go to jail. Because I haven't been around. Like,
right.
I'm telling you, people just judge so much. But
yeah.
When I was doing that in high school, people were like, it's because she's a slut. It's because she's had abortions, blah, 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 blah. And it's just that same thing. It's like, you can't advocate for something if you're...
Right.
Yeah, and people make really so many assumptions.
You're listening to horrible decisions? Are you fucking kidding me? Mandy pissed on a guy. I fucked 2 guys in one day and talked about how... I went over there to dominate one of them.
Yeah, like we've definitely talked about everything. And I think
I did fuck 2 guys in one day.
You
I just lied about that when Loverboy asked. Oops.
Look at you. Lying.
I don't think he listened to that. He only listens to like the first 20 minutes.
I hate you. Well,
he stopped listening when you were like, I have cold sores. He was like, I need to hit pause on this.
Oh, shit.
That was a little mean. I'm sorry.
I hate her. I take it back. You know, you came in all fucking nice. Oh, with your Cinderella looking face. Jesus.
Yeah, I'm Ella, and I'm just, you know, I'm down here being a feminist navigator. And I'm like, shit. Oh, God.
Oh, no. Let me see. I'm trying to think. Do you have one that you could read through really quick or no?
I did. One about him, and I kind of want your input on relationships like this, too. I sent it to Mandy. This girl wrote me on Snapchat and said, love the show, been listening since day one, and I love what you guys have going on. So I have a quote-unquote lover boy of my own, too. Not a boyfriend, somebody with mutual feelings. We care about each other, still finding our own way into something more serious, but for now, it's open and we really like it. My question is, do you share the dates you go on? Do you enjoy it? Does he ever get jealous of the women? Do you feel like you have to include him? I feel like the guy I'm dating only wants to see it if he's included in it. Like mm-hmm. me dating a girl without him is, you know. I want to have an example of how this works, but I'm really curious to know the other side. Can you ask him? Does he actually like you dating, or does he put up with it so he could do his thing too? That's what she asked me. Mm-hmm. So I sent him the question. He wrote me back, and he said,
this is Loverboy that answered the question for the reader. So
yeah,
for the listener.
I don't get jealous when you're with other girls because that's what you like to do, and I want you to enjoy it. I don't have to join in, but I like to know when you do it and how it went. Makes me feel good to know, like, you know, you had a good time. Then he said I'd probably join one day.
As far as the guys, we know that he was not here for you dating other guys, however.
Uh-huh.
So
I brought it up in the car. I was like, you know, I've been thinking about, all right, well, you know, they're dead. So I was like, okay, I guess we'll talk about it later. But
being bi is very fun.
Right?
It's absolutely.
What do you think about that, though? Like, she was saying she wants an example of how this is going to work. They're being open with each other. Do you think that open relationships means every detail?
No, I don't think it has to. I've been in open relationships before as well. And I think that every couple finds what they're comfortable with. Finds what they want. Like, I was in an open relationship for a while with somebody who, like, same situation, like, we adored each other, we were super close, the sex was amazing, but we were in very different places in our lives and geographically, so it wasn't a thing that we would be committed to each other, and I get so jealous, like, it's not cute.
So and what made you do the open relationship then?
I wanted him in my life, but it wasn't, I'm not good at long distance, he wasn't
good. No, that's
good.
Right, like, that's a very good answer.
That's kind of my answer, like what that. I'm going through.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't want to leave him alone.
But I will tell you this, though, I can't say that I don't enjoy him dating other women. That sounds really weird, but
I don't think it's weird, it's just everybody's different.
And I was going to say, because to me, I would be okay with a relationship, even long distance or whatever, but unless I ask, I don't want to know that you're on dates. I don't want to know what other women are on your phone. Like, I would be okay having an open relationship with where I know what you're doing, but I don't want to know, if that makes sense. Like,
so he's the opposite.
Right.
Like, he likes play-by-plays on my dates. Like, if I go in the bathroom, I think there was, like, a time where I'm like, oh, my God, she kissed me and blah, blah, blah happened, and it was exciting, and he likes that. And he did the same for me. He sent me a picture of a girl he was on a date with. And I was like,
that's right. And did like a play by.
And I'm not even gonna lie. Immediately, she was so pretty. And I was like, her fucking eyebrows suck. They weren't that bad, you know? But like, that's what we do. That's how I internalized it. Mm-hmm. But I just wonder, can women be in open relationships? Because what you said, do you think that was settling?
I don't think it was settling. I think it was a conscious decision.
I was about to say, if you literally
can
look
you
at
be
it.
In one if you're jealous?
Well, if you look at it, there's three women sitting here. We've all pretty much admitted to being in that same situation, in that same relationship. And I think all of us internalize what we can accept and what we won't accept. Mm-hmm. And I think for her, it absolutely can work. But there needs to be the key, apparently, to everything we talk about is this communication.
Yes.
Like, talk about your test results. But also, but also talk about, like, what you are willing to accept in a relationship, what you will allow and what you won't allow. And you have to be able to compromise and have a middle ground and know that that's what both of you guys are okay with. Period.
Right.
So
it's okay to also change your mind too and be like, actually, this feels kind of weird. I don't want to know this, or I do want to know what you're doing, but I don't want to know this. Like,
I like that
it's
answer.
Okay to,
yeah,
it's okay to
that's
revise
what, yep,
it.
We need to be in her goddamn feelings. And I'd be like, bitch, that's not what you signed up for. So you go ahead and let them know you're revising the list.
Actually, me and Mandy got in a fucking blowout fight. Like,
after we recorded last, I didn't give a fuck about her and Loverboy. I said, we probably didn't talk for like a week.
Oh no. You text me something like, oh, you didn't show up at the gym. And I was like, bitch, you thought we were friends? Like, I was so mad.
And then that pissed me off because I died. She had me go into a CrossFit thing. Do you see my thick ass? I like spin. Put me on a fucking bike. I died and was hurting 3 days after I worked out of this shit. To the point where I was gonna walk out. Mm-hmm. I was like, the water fountain, I'm gonna go. She's like, oh, it's in the corner. I was like, shit, I can't leave the room. I was planning an escape. But we got in a fight because I was
talking to Dr. Kim, who's our guest, and who's asking me about how my comfortability with this relationship. And the truth that I hate to admit is, for me, with the open relationship, I'm just gonna keep it real. In my mind, I need to feel like I am the more important one. And knowing that I'm the one that, whether you see more often or you're making effort to contact and be with or make effort to just, you know, keep it. It's embarrassing to say it like this, but main chick. And if I'm not, then I'm not kind of interested anymore.
That's pretty normal. Like for the polyamorous community, it's the idea of having a primary. You have a primary partner and then you have secondary partners or other relationships. Like in the relationship I was in, I was like, we didn't really use the term primary and secondary, but I knew like, I'm the person he loves. Like, I'm the person who knows all of his, like, weird baggage. I know, like, we know each other in that way, and I wasn't threatened by anybody else. I was like, you can do whatever you want. You can fuck whoever you want. But at the end of the day, I know that I'm the person that's closest.
And I think that hierarchy is probably what keeps him feeling okay, too.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
So I think the advice for our listener, for sure,
is to go ahead and just communicate it and figure out what your boundaries are, what you'll accept and what boundaries. You won't. And again, communication, which apparently has been the key to everything that we do. Like,
are you bi, by the way, Ella?
I am.
Are you?
I'm new about it, too. I came out last year. And it's funny, like, going back to the question we had about virginity and experience, like, with men, I don't give a shit. Like, I am so confident. I know exactly what to do. I'm not intimidated. And with women, I'm just like, you're really pretty. Like, I don't know how to do anything. I've never done anything sexually. It's like starting from square one. I feel like I'm 12.
You still haven't done anything sexually?
Not yet, no. So it's like, the idea of inexperience is so relative because there are some ways in which I've done everything. And
doesn't
there's some
the kissing
ways
feel like
well,
I'm sure you
do.
Kissed, right? Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Okay. Like my first, like when I knew the girl kisses, holy shit.
Whole
like,
other
what
level.
The fuck? It's like, I'm like shaking. Sometimes it still happens to me, even with girls I've already been with.
Oh, wow.
It's so exciting.
So if you guys will wrap up the show, and what we'll do is we'll leave our listeners with kind of something to think about. So if you could give our listeners one moral of the story or one thing to think about or, drop a gem, what would you leave our listeners with?
Oh, my God. So much pressure.
That was a lot of pressure.
I know it was. I just thought it would be nice to kind of end it with a bang. Like, I guess I can try.
Okay. I mean, I feel like the biggest jaw dropper I ever say is like, you probably have herpes. You will probably get herpes. Like, it's a thing. Oh. Think about it now. Like, it's terrifying. Wait.
Yeah. And if you guys want to look on YouTube, which I love the title. It's like herpes is not a consequence. It's inevitable.
STIs.
Yeah.
STIs.
Yeah.
And so again, I think you guys definitely look her up. Listen, you guys can probably type in Ella and it'll pop up. but Ella Dawson, DAWSON. Read her articles. She's in Women's Health magazine, which is where I found her. She's pretty popping. Like, she's lit, and we're across from her.
She's
awesome. I wanna go ahead and let you guys know as well to continue sending us your letters. We love it. I also want y'all to give me my props. I think I did well when not over talking our guest today.
You tried.
Which I did really well, actually. I was super proud of myself. So I am listening to critiques. I'm listening to all of your reviews. We read it. We talk it out. And we're still new, guys. We're working on getting better. So go ahead and continue emailing us at horribledecisions@gmail.com and follow us on Instagram. Do you want them to follow you?
Follow me on Twitter.
She has a fucking blue check mark. So you guys can follow her.
Damn.
Yeah, bro. She's fucking verified.
I work in social media, so I have an in.
Oh, well, damn, bitch. We want the blue checks. Do you know how much more dick I would get with a blue check mark? No, let me stop. I'm just playing. It's not what I want.
An abstinent. With 12
So where can they find you?
I'm on Twitter at bros and pros because I write prose about bros. Yes.
Bros and pros.
Yeah.
Love it.
I love it. Please don't be weird and sexual to me because I will yell at you for it on Twitter. That's
so
my only
sorry
rule.
Because our followers are disgusting.
They're pretty disgusting. And where can they find you, Weezy?
She's such a little cunt about it. On Bumble, there.
Oh, swipe. All right. Well, guys, I'm going to go ahead, and I know we didn't give you a song at the beginning of the show, but I do want to drop you a gem on a great song from Kehlani, and I think it fits the topic, and it's pretty much about loving yourself and knowing who you are before you seek love from someone else. So we'll leave that at the end of the show. Listen to it. Her album is dope. You can listen to it straight through. I'm surprised. I didn't know I was going to be a Kehlani stan, but I actually love her album. So we're going to leave that with you guys. And thank you. This has been another episode of Horrible Decisions.
That was so much fun. Oh,
that was great.
Little girl, watching her reflection. As she parts her curls into four sections, she says, I don't look like them, I don't look like her, and I don't want what's on my head. But baby girl, don't be misled. Yeah, reading magazines, thinking to herself, nobody looks like me. Oh, I've got all these curves, all this nerve. Why can't I keep a man? But baby girl, if you love yourself, you can. Ain't nobody love somebody that do not love themselves. You are what you choose to be. It's not up to no one else. So be great, be kind. Don't let should always stay bright. No. Little boy sitting in the bleachers.